Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. Right off the top, if you're not following us, make sure you follow us at Awakened Soul Pod. If you want to follow me personally, you can do so at CEO Hayes. We got my boy Rod, your boy Rod, which is his username on Instagram, in the building this week for the main discussion topic, in which we talk about why Black men being able to take a break from the day-to-day life is important to their mental health. We also just get into a conversation about life, being fathers, being everything. It's really an all-encompassing conversation. And so make sure you're also checking him out, his podcast, The Blunt Effect Podcast. But it's just a great conversation with my brother, Rod. And, you know, it's not many people that I can, on short notice, just hit up and be like, hey, let's make some magic. Rod is one of those people, I think, anytime me and him link up and have done episodes together, they've been great. They've been insightful. And we just have great conversations like that. So Rod is in the building this week on the main discussion topic. We do have the End of Mine Hayes segment. So we'll get into that right after our intro music. But before we get into our intro music, I want to thank you guys for the support of the last episode, which was one that I recorded and put out. And it was like, I didn't know how people were going to take it. The response to it has been great, and everything. You know, numbers have been really, really good too. But numbers aside, just the response and hearing from you guys, it's been just amazing, and I appreciate you guys for it. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump into my dark and twisted crazy ass mind and hit the End of Mine and Hayes segment right after our intro music, which is about to start now.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
All right, so I only have one topic for the In the Mind of Hayes segment this week. Well, one main topic. I do want to pick up on something that I talked about before. NBA Finals ended since the last episode, and I know on either the last episode or the episode before last, I had the Phoenix Suns were up 2-0, and I said based off those two games, I couldn't see the Bucks stopping them. Well, they showed me. The fact that the Bucks won the NBA title, winning four games in a row, just a great series. Giannis is that dude, and he really stepped up this season, the series, whatever you want to call it. You know, shouts out to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, unfortunately, and let me not say this is a bad topic, right? So let's get into the topic. So Brian Chaney, a black man in Michigan who was wrongly detained, is actually suing
the police department for wrongfully detaining him. And, you know, look up the story. Like I said, his name is Brian Chaney. So make sure you look that up. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a story that we hear all too often, the situation that we hear all too often. And it got me to thinking of, like, why is this something that we hear so commonly in our community, in our culture? Why is it something that is always, you know, we always have a story over a bad interaction as a Black person with law enforcement? And I read an article not too long ago, and I'll try to link the article to this if I can find it. I think it was last year, and it posed the question of why African Americans or Black Americans are blamed for crimes that we didn't commit. And the simple thing was, is because they get away with it. And that's absolutely true. So when you hear a story like this over a Black man being wrongly detained and the fact that he's suing, and, you know, very often in our culture, people are afraid to speak out because of retaliation. They're afraid or don't know what legal ramifications that they can have or if they can sue or whatnot. We need to hear, we need to do more of this. We need to, you know, we live in the age of social media where we make everything so public. This is something that we need to shine more light on. This is something that we need to see more of, because people need to know that they don't have to deal with the bullshit. We have to stop. We have to stop allowing it. We have to stop living in that fear and just accepting that. Like, you know, I had a conversation not too long ago of like why Black men don't speak up more. And I feel like it's partially due to not wanting to be labeled as the angry Black person. And I think that plays such a big part in, like, and, you know, just in that, and just the fear of being jailed, the fear of being harassed, the fear of possibly losing your life off a bad interaction with police. And, you know, for the people who don't think and don't understand just how much and how big of a part that plays in, like, the day-to-day life, the stress, the inherent trauma that we carry as Black people sometimes, these are things that we need to see. We need to see. And, you know, who's to say that him suing the Michigan police is going to be successful or not? But the thing is, it's just bringing eyes to it. The thing is, if more people do that, if more people call out the bullshit that we have to deal with, instead of just taking it as a, hey, this cop fucked me, he's an asshole, I'm glad that I got out, let me go back to, and that's not to vilify the people they do this, not to say that anybody is wrong, that after they have a bad interaction with law enforcement, that they just want to go back to their life and want to forget it, because I understand that side too. But I'm glad that we're that you know, in a time, in an era where how wrongly treated African Americans are in this country, and the fact that motherfuckers are tired of the shit. Take every ramification, take every recourse that you have, whether it's legal, whether it's to stage protest. This is a time where people are fed the fuck up. And, you know, we all know this. I'm not going to harp in or stay on that topic too long, because we all know what happens. We all know what goes on. This is, like, we've seen more coverage of this now, probably bigger than any other point in history, because people are fed the fuck up. And I'm glad that it's happening. I'm glad that, you know, to see this man, you know, he was just walking, he was exercising, and, you know, and this was after dropping his kids off, and a cop stopped him and said they were going to frisk him and detained him incorrectly. He shouted at him, get his hands out his pockets. This is a Black man who's minding his own motherfucking business. And I know a lot of people think, well, these stories aren't that common. They're more common than you fucking think. And, you know, we can't keep allowing the shit to be swept under the rug because of fear of whatever else. And that's my opinion on it. That's what I wanted to talk about on this week's, you know, In the Mind of Haze segments. I really wanted to just mention how, and talk about, you know, a topic that we all carry some form or fear of generally, is that Black men carry that, Black people, let me just stop saying Black men, Black people carry this fear of what if this is the time that an interaction with a cop goes left, it goes wrong. What if I end up losing my life? What if I end up getting beat up? What if I end up going to prison and being accused of something that I didn't do? To go back to that article that I mentioned of the fact that Black people are so confused because society has allowed people in law enforcement to get away with it. So that's my thoughts on that. One last thing, and this kind of just came up, so we all heard, again, and I don't know if I even talked about it. I think I may have talked about it on the film frequency, but I don't know if I talked about it here, is that we all heard that, you know, Warner Brothers, they hired, that more than likely it's going to be a Black Superman for the next Superman story. And, you know, everybody kind of went back to Michael B. Jordan at one point in time. I know there was conversation going around about him possibly being the next Superman. And, you know, my stance on this has always been, you know, does Superman's race really matter? He's an alien, right? He's not a white man. He's an alien. But I've always said that, you know, I would like to see, rather than turning Superman, somebody who's a black character who was black in the comics, and let's bring more characters, because there are so many black versions of superheroes that are in the comics that people aren't aware of. So while WB seems like they may be moving in, Warner Brothers and DC seems like they may be moving in that direction with the next main superhero film, apparently Michael B. Jordan has a separate superhero project that's going to HBO Max about Val Zod. Now, this is a black Superman. This is a Superman in the comics who was black. And so I know J.J. Abrams is bringing his thing and his reimagining of Clark Kent. That's who's making that. But the fact that, and it's set on Earth 2, so it's a different Earth. Anyone who knows the DC comics, they have a lot of Earths. But the fact that, like, Michael B. Jordan is getting a project for Val Zod created and is going to HBO Max, this is the same place we saw the Snyder Cut going, everything like this. These are the type of projects that I get excited about. And yes, don't get me wrong. J.J. Abrams doing the Superman, and if that Superman's black, if the movie's good, I'm going to be there. But to have Michael B. Jordan, this is why I like that so many studios are getting their own streaming services, because we're going to start seeing more experimental stuff like this, like WB, and we already know, seeing what Marvel is doing and how they're using Disney Plus to kind of bring more like side projects on. But Michael B. Jordan, clearly something, he's passionate about this. If he's the one getting it off the ground, and the fact that they're allowing him to, and the fact that it'll be on HBO Max, we need to show up. We need to support it as long as it's good when this comes out, because who knows where that may go from this. And it's so, there's so many different people who carry the Superman mantle in the comics that I get it. You know, if they want to do something different with Superman, it's all there in the source material. Not that most people who watch it are going, who watch these movies necessarily always know the source material, but it's just good to see different representation. And this is the way that I like it to be done, is when you have somebody who is black in the comics and they're trying to bring it to the forefront, and you have somebody who is of the culture, who's leading it and passionate about it, who wants to bring that vision to life. So, you know, let me know what you guys think, overall the black Superman, what you think about Michael B. Jordan having his own project on top of J.J. Abrams' project moving forward with his version of Superman. And then we also got rumors that a Man of Steel sequel may be coming. So possibly three Superman projects in the works. Superman's a huge character. It makes sense. I can understand that. But it's just going to be interesting to see where all the chips fall and everything goes with this. So be on the lookout for that. But that's it. We're going to head into the main discussion topic, where we got Rod in the building from the Blunt Effect podcast. It's a great conversation. I'm titling this one Blunt Talk. So we'll be see you guys after that. We're going to get into a brief intro. A brief musical break. Catch you guys on the other side of that with the main discussion topic.
Let's get it.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Awakened Soul Podcast. And I am joined by your boy Rod from the Blunt Effect Podcast. First of all, before we even get started into the topic that we have today, let me just commend you. From the last time that we had an episode, you have stepped the fuck up, bro. Like, I see the content you're producing. I see the videos, like the new logo for the podcast. I'm like, Brody hit the glow up. I like that.
Hey, I'm trying to, bro. I'm trying to do something, you know what I mean? Just to kind of expand the brand and show that I'm serious about it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's working in my favor, but I know there's still a lot more room to grow and a lot more work I got to do.
Definitely. I remember one of the first conversations we had, it was about like what goes into podcasting and taking it seriously and wanting to be respected as a business. And you've definitely taken those steps, bro, and I'm happy for you, man.
I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it most definitely.
For sure, man. Yeah, you've been doing your goddamn thing, man. I can't even deny that. You've been firing on all cylinders, bro.
Appreciate appreciate that, bro. Appreciate that most definitely. And same to you, bro. You know, you've always been doing your thing. And, you know, I look at your content and that's like your content is motivation for me to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? To keep going harder every time I do it.
I appreciate that. I listen, the thing that I always say, and I try to just be honest about it, man, the only difference between me and any other creative is just the fact that I'm willing to do all this shit, bro. I'm willing to put in the time and the effort. And that's really like when people ask like how I do XYZ or how I do so much. And honestly, bro, the only fucking answer I have for them is I have no problem putting in all the time that's needed to get this shit done.
Facts. Big facts.
That's all that it boils down to. I don't feel like there's nothing super special about me. I don't do nothing that other people can't or haven't done before me. It's just that I know what I'm willing to put in, and can't nobody stop me, bro. Nobody can stop me from doing what the fuck
I'm doing. Big facts. Big facts, bro.
And that's what it's all about for me, man. Other than that, we'll see where it goes, man. But enough about that, bro. So it's an interesting topic to talk about. And so, you know, one of the things with like creating content, I always say that your real life should be the content. It should be easy to create content because if you're using your real life and the things that you go through day to day, the shit will come to you and it'll come easy. And so, you know, me and you were talking, I had a vacation, an unexpected one, but a needed one. And while I was on there, I was just thinking about how as black men, bro, we really don't take the vacations that we need, fam. We don't like, and take time to step back. And so like, it's only a couple of people I feel like I could really have this conversation with and they dig deep. Like I want to dig deep in it. So I hit you up, man. So first, what do you think as black men that we take, and not even necessarily by vacation, I mean go to a different city, like, yeah, do that if you can, but like I feel like we as a culture feel like if we slow down, we either going to get passed up career wise we taking time away from our family, or we doing XYZ, but really when it comes time to it, we all need that time to reset. Do you feel like as black men we take as much time to reset as we need to?
As black men specifically, no, I don't think we take the time that we need to. And I think that's from a level of stability, if that makes sense. I feel like us as black men, we have to work that much harder to get to where we are in life. So there's, in a sense, no time for breaks. You know what I'm saying? Because just like you said, like we take a break and something might pass us by, or we might miss a gym. We might miss something in general. Whereas, you know, the others may not have so much as a hard time, you know what I'm saying, catching back up, and they might have that opportunity to be able to take a break. I feel like us as black men, we have so much on our plates, you know, with just living the day-to-day life and just trying to make it to the next day, that we really mentally, even though we might want to say, you know what, man, shit, I want to sit down. Like, I want to just sit back and do nothing. I don't want the kids here. I just want to sit and watch the game, like, or just chill. I feel like we don't have as much time as we would like to make to do those types of things.
And I feel like, so this is where I feel like black women definitely understand this more than what we have, because black women will take their vacations. They'll go on their girls' trips. Men, facts. It's like we'll go on trips with our women, right? Or we'll go on trips with the family. But how often, and I'm not saying nobody does it, but how often do we really sit back and be like, look, me and the boys, we finna go to Florida for a week. We finna go kick facts. It for a week. Like, and you know, I really feel like it's needed, and we need to be able to we have to wear our armor on day to day, like we do. Like anyone who tells you that we don't, it's fucking lying. Like we go through shit. And I had a conversation with somebody before of like, because they were saying how like black men, we won't speak up when our food gets wrong or whatever, and then the women have to do it. And I asked the question, I was like, well, how much of that do you think is that we don't want to be looked at as the angry black man? So we kind of just take facts. It and we just go and we don't want to make a scene or whatever. And I think that same mindset applies to us taking a break. Like women will say proudly, look, I've been a mother for 360 days out the week. I need the next five to myself. I'm finna go on a vacation with the girls. Men, we don't say that shit, bro.
Facts. And that's the truth, bro. And I feel like kind of it can be a level of just, you know, us being men and us being, you know, I don't want to say big headed, but more masculine, just more like I don't need to tell nobody I need a break. I'm a man, you know what I'm saying? That type of deal. But like you said, bro, I feel like from a mental standpoint, we all need breaks. And that's something that more recently that I've been touching on in my podcast is the stability of mental stability. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And especially within Black men, because we go through so much. And just like you said, we don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Just like we don't say we need a break, we don't talk about any of our issues or any of the problems that we have going on in our minds as men in general. So I feel like, you know, those are things that we need to do. We need to take breaks and we need to spend more time with our family and, you know what I'm saying, just kind of not be vulnerable, but be vulnerable around the right people. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like us as men, that would help us out tremendously as far as like dealing with mental issues and being able to cope and being able to communicate.
I mean, and you hit the nail on the head there. Like, it all comes back to mental health. And, you know, us as Black men, I feel like we're the first generation to start understanding the importance of getting our mental health together, right? Like,
facts.
My uncle and the people before me, like, you try to talk about mental health to them and they look at you like you speaking a foreign language. So, like, I feel like we're the first ones to really understand that. And that plays, like, we so often don't think about how much really plays into our mental health, right? Like, working jobs that we don't really like, Black men for the longest, and not, let me not just say Black men, you know, Black women too. Like, we took whatever jobs that we can because we had to provide for our family. We didn't have the luxury of our counterparts to say, you know what, this career isn't for me. I'm a quit and go find another one. Like, we didn't have that, right? And even starting off life, let's just look at it. Like, the typical Black man is put out of their family's house. You feel me? Their mother's house, their dad's house. You got to find a job. You got to get out. Whereas our white counterparts, they almost get to stay with their parents until they get on their feet completely. They be damn near ready to buy a house before they even think about moving out.
Facts. Had the money in the account, perfect credit and all.
We no savings, no nest egg, barely any fucking retirement if we even know the importance of a 401k. Sometimes no health insurance. Like me, I moved out of my mama's house when I was 19. And I look back, I had my first job full time. I made $7.72 an hour. The rent at my first place was $5.25. Do the fucking math. I was barely fucking getting by. You feel me? But the pride in me would have never allowed me to be like, hey, no, I'm going to go stay back with my mama for a little while. And even then, like, my mom probably would have let me. Don't get me wrong, but you best believe there would have been a timer on that shit. There would have been, hey, you got a year from now, if you still in this house, we got some problems.
Facts. I kind of came up the same way, bro. Like, I feel like, you know, I moved out when I was like 21, so I was a little bit older, but that was something that I really took serious when I moved out. Like, I took that because my mother gave me the opportunity. She said, you can live here as long as you got a job or as long as you're going to school, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And I always kept a full-time job, so I didn't have no issues. But when I was ready to move out, I always knew in the back of my mind, like, I can't come back here. Yeah. I mean, I know she'll let me come back if I need to, but I don't want to need to come back. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like you said, some of our counterparts, they just kind of, you know, they have everything kind of lined up for them. To where, yeah, they might not come back, but mommy and daddy done lined that up for you. Whereas us as Black men, we had to kind of go out and do trial and error and learn on our own how to save our own money. I know when I was growing up, bro, I didn't know nothing about saving. The only thing I knew about saving was that my mother always had a hard time doing it. I knew that. 401k, I had no idea. Health insurance, I had no idea. Like, and then when I got older and I started doing stuff on my own, it's like, damn. Like, I really do need dental insurances. I can't pay for this shit out of pocket. Damn, I really do need health insurances. I can't afford it. I can't even afford to get sick. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just little stuff like that that I feel like we as Black men, and I feel like that's, on our end, I feel like that's great that we had to learn that stuff the hard way, because that's what makes us mentally stable and makes us, you know what I'm saying, able to do the things and survive and go through the things that we go through in life, because we done been there. We done learned through different trial and errors, and we know how to deal with things. Whereas some of our counterparts, they might not be able to deal with those types of things on the type of level and mental stability that we can deal with it, because we done seen our parents go through it. We done seen our cousins and our uncles, and unfortunately, it's been generations that we've seen it, but we've seen it so much that now we're like, me and you, we're at the point to where we're like, fuck that. This shit is no longer happening. Like, we're going to be the first of our generations to show, you know what I'm saying, this is what we need to do to prepare ourselves and prepare our families.
Definitely, definitely. And I mean, to kind of bring it back to like the whole take, being able to take a step back and stuff, like I said, it's all about creating a space for you to be able to do, to get that stuff off your chest, to rebound mentally, to rebound emotionally, to, because, you know, as much as we talk about Black men and us learning to communicate better, you have to learn to communicate with yourself. And I could say, let me speak for me. Let me not even speak for all Black men. Let me speak for me. It took me into my 30s to I learned to even admit, like, all right, this is what I'm feeling and this is why I'm feeling it. Much less to communicate that to another grown motherfucker. You feel me? So facts. like and you know, we don't, because we get taught, like, I became a father at 19, right? That's when I was almost 20 when my son was born. And so it's been family mode my whole adult life. Like, it's been taking care of my family, taking care of my responsibilities, and it all caught up with me to the point to where, like, I had a break. Like, not a break to where, like, I snapped or went crazy, but I had a break to where it was just like, I don't want to do shit. I don't want to see none of you motherfuckers. I don't want to go nowhere. Like, and then I had to stop and process why I was feeling like that. What was happening in my life, or what happened in my life, that led me to get to that point. And when I started pulling it all out and unraveling it bit by bit, I started going back to things that happened when I was like 16, 17 that I never stopped and even healed from. And so, like, right. You, it's important to take that and to get those moments to yourself. And yeah, it feels selfish. Yeah, it feels whatever. But the thing that I've learned is that when you don't make time for you, you're also not allowing yourself to regroup, to give more to your family. Like, you have to be able to have that moment, whether it's going into the man cave, sitting down, turning on ESPN and just not doing nothing but staring at that TV for a while. Like, yeah, people will look at it like, damn, you just sit and watch ESPN for 2 hours being lazy. No, I'm regrouping myself, because when I go back, when I leave out this man cave, I got to take care of everybody else and do the things that I need to do. So, like, let me get these 2 hours. Let me get these 2 hours to rebuild myself. So what are some of the things that you do that help you, like, regain your mental, regain your composure after, like, just the day-to-day life?
Me, bro, I just like to sit back and relax, bro. Like, I'll come home. I like to, you know, I don't want to go too extensive on what I like to do, but you know what I like to do.
Yeah.
But, I'll do that, and I'll just sit back and watch TV, bro, and just, I'll either play the game or something and just kind of sit back and relax. Like, it doesn't really take much. Sometimes all I really need is just some quiet time, bro. Like, cause
that's
just
really what,
like,
it be, bro.
It, for real, bro. Cause I done caught myself, like, in the car driving with no music on. And then by the time I'm, like, almost where I'm supposed to be, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, damn, I've been thinking for a minute. Like, didn't even realize I ain't had no music playing.
Yeah.
And then when I think about it, I'm like, damn, I needed that, because that gave me time to be able to, like, I don't have nothing going on around me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the hardest part about clearing your mind and taking that break, is that there's always something going on, especially, like, you know, you got kids, bro. There's always something going on, bro. Even Absolutely. When there's nothing, them motherfuckers can be asleep, sound asleep, bro. And something is going on in that motherfucking house, bro. Like, you always got to be on standby. So it's just like, there's not too many periods of time where you really get to be away from everything and really be, like, by yourself and really take that time out by yourself. And for me, it's just like those car rides home. And I mean, even though it's only like 10 or 15 minutes, like, that's enough time for me to get out of work mode and be prepared for what's coming when I walk through the door. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that's where, you know, a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot, but I feel like that's where conflict can come from within the house sometimes. Like, you come home from work, you done had a shitty day, you know what I'm saying? Your spouse or whoever's living with you done had a shitty day, whether your kids done had a shitty day at school, and then attitudes is flying. You already pissed off because you done had to deal with Joe and all that bullshit at work, and you come home and then the house ain't clean. And then the first thing you thinking is like, what the fuck? Like, this shit is not supposed to look like this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like those times, like that 10 to 15 minutes is more or less like when you come in the house and the house is still dirty, you can just look at it and be like, I expected this. Okay, I'll help. You know what I'm saying? Versus coming in the house and just spazzing out and being like, what's going on? Nobody did shit. Y'all been home all day. I work hard all day to come home and still have to, you know, just that kind of shit. So for me, that's what it is. Just 10, 15 minutes, peace and quiet. I mean, if I get an hour, hey, I'm happy. But 15 minutes is good enough for me, because that's enough for me to just really, like, let everything go. And like you said, just reset. But like I said before, bro, before we got on, I'm still looking to get my week. I need my week, bro. Man,
I'm telling you, bro, like it's a different level of peace when you get a week to yourself and nothing but your thoughts. Like, yeah, I mean, you having those little moments throughout the week, or just like you said, on your drive home, to be able to get that off, to just prepare to end the day with the fam or whatever. It definitely helps. But to have like a week where you literally can like turn your phone off and just like sit by a pool, sit on the beach, sit on, like, my thing that I've been doing lately for me to unwind is like, I'll take my camera, you know, I'm into photography.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'll literally go into like the fucking damn near the fucking wilderness, bro, where I can't nobody get in touch with me, and just take pictures of shit. Literally.
Hell yeah.
For hours, bro. And then I'm telling you, the drive back, like, I'm good. Like, I don't know how old you, because you have a son, right?
Right, he's 11.
He's 11. Okay, so you're preteen. It's nothing like having teenagers, bro. And when your teenagers are moody, they got an attitude. You had a bad day at work, and then like it's too many fucking attitudes, bro. Like sometimes in this house, especially because I have two girls that are teenagers and one son that's a teenager, there's times where I'll be looking at these motherfuckers like, and I'll tell my kids too. I'll be like, you mad about that? All right, listen, I'm finna show you all the bills that I had to pay this week. I'm finna show you all the bills I had to pay. And so, like, I've started doing this thing with my kids where, because I'll do anything for my children. My children are really good children. They're good in school. But the thing that I had to realize is that by me trying to overcompensate for, like, my parents not getting me certain shit, I almost get them whatever they want, and they don't really understand the concept of money. So nice. I've been telling them, like, all right, I'll get you this. But I need you to realize this. I had to work X amount of hours to be able to even afford this. So I need those hours back from you and chores.
Facts.
That's what I need.
Facts.
I need my Facts. Time back. So, and it's really been helping. And but yeah, I mean, to get back to the thing, it's like for me it's the photography. For me, sometimes it's sitting downstairs in the studio. Like there's times where after the kids lay down, go to sleep, all the lights are off, I'll just come down in the studio on the couch in the lounge side. And I'll just sit there and read a book, bro. Like, I'm not even in here recording nothing or editing anything. I'm literally just sitting here reading a book with my little one light on in the corner. And it's quiet as fuck, man.
Facts. And sometimes that's what it is. You know, I feel like us as men, even though we don't get a lot of downtime, we don't need all the extras. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be something so simple, like reading a book, you know, just sitting down, watching TV, whether it be by yourself or whoever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, we just need a time where there is, like, we don't have to think about shit. Like, where we don't have to worry about who's doing what's going on, who's coming over, who's doing this and who's doing that. Just some time for us to sit back and relax. And I feel like, I'm gonna be real, bro. I feel like as men, we give women the benefit of the doubt when it comes to them getting their me time, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. We don't really, I mean, I feel like we get it, but at the same time, like you said earlier, we don't ask for it. It's not an announcement. It's not a come in and say, hey, I'm taking some me time. Me and the guys are going out of town for the weekend, or me and the girl, or not me and the girls, but me and the kids are going, you know what I'm saying, to the beach for 5 days. It's never nothing like that. I feel like, bro, when we get our me time, it's when the whole family's going together to do something. It's never like, exactly, all right, babe, I'm going out for the weekend. Don't call me.
And the funny thing is that, okay, and this may set off my women listeners, but fuck it, I'm gonna be honest. The thing is that I feel like as black men, especially if you're in a relationship, if you tell your woman, all right, I'm finna go to the beach for a week, I'll see you in a week, the questions, the doubt,
yeah,
and so like,
bro,
we don't want to deal with that headache, so we'll be like, all right, when are we all going to the beach? Just because I don't even want to hear your mouth about this.
Facts. It's going to be who you going with.
Exactly.
Who going to be there? Oh, nah.
Yeah, and it shouldn't even be like that. We should be able to just say, hey, we going to kick it with the boys. We're going to be gone for about 3-4 days.
Facts. Now, to give the women a little bit of credit, you know, there are some guys out there who do the same thing. So, you know, we gonna gain some of them women listeners back, and we gonna give them some credit. Some of the guys will be on that same thing. So I mean, but I get exactly what you're saying, bro. Like, yeah, there's just got to be a level of communication between the significant others that, you know, that is a level of trust that you can have your time and do whatever you want to do. I trust that you're not gonna do anything disrespectful to the family or the relationship, and we all good.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to that communication piece, right? But and you know, we should be able to reassure our loved ones, like, hey, I'm just going because I need a break. You feel me? You can go.
Facts.
Like, I really feel like it's important in the relationship to say for you to have your solo vacation, her to have her solo vacation, and then us to have a family vacation. Like, we should be able to do that over the course of 12 months. And I'm not saying a whole week each time, even if it's just a weekend, even if it's a I'm leaving Friday, I'll be back Sunday evening type thing. Like, it's important to get that. And, you know, I think once Black men as a whole, because there's certain of us to do, like, once we understand how traveling and how, like, I mean, there's a podcast, and the name's escaping me now, where it's a Black guy who he literally sponsors Black men who don't have their passports. He'll pay for their passports so they can travel, because he noticed
that black men
don't understand the importance of traveling, especially internationally, if you can. Now, I know that's a more difficult thing for people, but, like, you got to get out. You got to see other things. You got to see other cultures. You got to see how people do things outside of just your city and your state. Like my best friend, Brian, I know you're going to be listening. Like, he was damn near 30 for the first time he left the city he grew up in.
Damn, that's crazy, bro. And I mean, that is very true and very important. Like, I haven't been to a lot of places, but I mean, I haven't been out the country. I don't count the Bahamas as going out the country, but I haven't been out the country, and there's places that I do want to go out the country. But like you said, traveling, I feel like I'm 30 now, and I feel like I might have been about 27 when I really got to the point to where I was like, yo, I got to travel. I got to... You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I've been a few places. Like, I've been outside of my state and my city and stuff like that. But like me and you had a conversation where I talked about, you know, maybe relocating. You know, that's something that I really, like, will want to do. But I feel like just with life and, you know, having a job and all that kind of stuff, sometimes it can be kind of hard trying to relocate the whole family.
Yeah.
And everybody might not be on board. So that's, you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of the issues that I got going. And everybody on my girl's side, like, her family is like 15 minutes up the road. Whereas for me, it's just my mother lives in the city. Nobody else lives in the city. So for me, it would be easy to just up and leave, because I don't got nobody here but my mother. But for her, you know, her whole, like, literally her mom's side of the family is here. Her dad's side of the family is here. So, like, they're all here. So, you know, for that's where for me, it might be a little bit hard, but at the same time, I mean, that's what traveling is for, bro. I'm going to make my way around this world one way or another, because there's too much out here.
It's beautiful, man. It's funny how, like, it different cities, different states, they do things like it's the same but different. And it's like, it's just amazing to get to see. And you know me, I was an Army brat, so we moved around a lot. So, like, moving is never anything to me personally. But, like, I got kids. They got a mother. Me and their mother aren't together. So me moving, are they coming with me? Are they staying with her? Like, so it's too many moving parts that now I'm kind of stationary for a while. But, like, I get that itch to move, bro, every 3 or 4 years. Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. It's like, I was in St. Louis for 11 years. I've been in Columbus now for, it just was 4 years in May. And literally Dallas is on my radar. Houston's on my radar. South Carolina's on my radar, bro.
Texas is where it's at for the thing I worry
about with Texas is that Texas is like becoming the new Atlanta for Black people. So it's like, come on, everybody's moving to Texas now, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, my thing for the reason why I love that, I have a lot of connections in Dallas. I have a lot of people that I'm cool with and creatives that I'm cool with in Dallas. But also, I think for me, but since I do photography, since I'm starting to do more short films, I think it would just be beneficial to me to be in a warm weather city all year rather than fucking Ohio winters where everything shuts the fuck down in Ohio.
12 inches of snow and all that crazy shit,
man. Like, so that's why, like, I'm thinking about the places that I'm thinking about. But then it's like, at the same time, my oldest is 15. My youngest is 8. So if I wait 4 or 5 more years, my youngest would be 13. All my other kids would be adults. So then it's like, all right, I can probably tough this out for 4 or 5 more years. I'll be 38, 39. All right. I still got a lot of life ahead of me.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's one thing that we have in our community too, is that, like, we don't move for whatever reason. We're afraid to take that thing. And it's like, I get it that especially if you have a lot of family there, all your family there, and that's all you knew. But at the same time, you got, especially when you start your own family, you got to build your own memories. You got to build your own roots. When we look at our grandparents, most of our grandparents, even if they came from the South. They came from different right. cities. Not like my grandma grew up in Mississippi before she moved to St. Louis. And then my mom was in St. Louis, so she was 20. And then she joined the military and started traveling all over the place. Like, Black people moved in, like, groups back in the day, and now we right. like we kind of stay stationary. It's like, no, get the fuck up and move, man.
Hell yeah. I mean, shit, like you said, bro, we all gotta explore. We all gotta, you know, I've learned that there's so many different things that are available and accessible if you just get out and travel. Yeah. Like, you meet so many different people and you come across so many different opportunities that you never would have thought that you would come across. Because you're in a different area, you're in a different demographic. Like, there's things that might not be popping. Like, I'm in Charlotte. There's things that might not be popping in Charlotte, but I bet if I came to Ohio, you know what I'm saying, that shit might be popping up there. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like that's how you get the networking, especially as creators, as entrepreneurs. Traveling is something I feel like is very essential, because that's how we network. That's how we get our stuff around to different people around the country and around the world. We can't do that if we're just staying in one station, staying stagnant the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see what, because a lot of the like podcast festivals and shit got canceled because of COVID. Now that we're going into 2022, we're halfway through 2021, but as we get into 2022, it's like, I really hope those festivals and things open back up, because, bro, I know you, like, you became a creative during this shit, basically. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be hitting you up like, hey, bro, first of all, Afros and Audio next year in May in New York, I need you there with me, bro. I'm not even going to lie to you. You
bro, got I've never been in New York.
Bro, when I tell you, I have never been around as many melanated people and it be all positive. Bro, it felt like a family reunion when we went there, bro.
Facts.
It was one of the most beautiful things that I have ever seen. So that would have been 2019, because the one in 2020, no, that would have been 2020, because the one in 2021 was digital. And they're going back to live in 2022. Bro, I'm telling you, it was, and then the Melanin Mana Festival in Dallas, Texas. Those are the two festivals, bro, that I tell you, if you don't make it to any other one, you got to make it to those. Like, it was some of the most beautiful shit. And the Melanin Mana Festival wasn't even all creatives. Like, it was artists, it was podcasters, it was filmmakers, it was people who made like jewelry and clothing. It was people selling their cannabis line, like legit businesses. Bro, it was fucking it's beautiful, bro. It's fucking
hell
beautiful.
Yeah. I definitely gotta get into that, bro. Most definitely.
Man, I'm telling you, like, it was, I can't wait to get back to these festivals. And then, like, you build networking. Like, when I went to the Afros and Audio Festival, that was like right when I started taking photography semi-seriously. And then one of the people there reached out to me, because we kind of talked about it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to try to start taking photography more seriously. A year later, that person hit me up and was like, man, my girlfriend's pregnant, and I remember you said you do photography. Would you come out and do her maternity pics? Bro.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's just, you never know where connection's going to make you. That's why you need to get out and network, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Networking is important, man. And we often, like, creating is this kind of, it can feel like you're alone because you're editing by yourself or you're posting by yourself, and you can feel like that. But really, it doesn't have to be like that if you don't make it. If you build these connections with people who are like-minded with you, and you can tell the difference between people who are trying to capitalize off whatever buzz you have, but and who actually want to build with you, that shit is beautiful, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, bro. And I mean, in this podcasting game, I mean, I've only been in it for a year, but I've connected with a lot of people, bro. And I've talked about things and thought about things that I never thought that I would, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It intrigues my thinking. Like, when I talk to other people and hear what they have to say and hear their ideas, it intrigues me. It like lights a fire in me and it gets me going, because now it's like, what am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do what they're doing, but I want to one up, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to just sit back and just, you know what I'm saying, let them steal the show. Like, I got something to prove my damn self. So that's how I look at it. I mean, not necessarily like a competition, but from a standpoint of motivation and wanting to be better at what I'm doing, instead of just, you know, talking about the same stuff or treating my podcast the same way that other people treat theirs, as far as like how they present it. Like, it's easy to look at somebody's ideas or look at somebody's presentation and be like, oh yeah, I want to take something from them and put it in my show. I've tried it. I've done it. Yeah. But then after a while, it's just like, nah, like this ain't doing it. Like I gotta be me, because for a point in time, it feels like you're just not being yourself.
That's for sure. And like what we're talking about, like finding your moments to escape and your way to unwind. I know for me, podcasting has absolutely become that, bro. Like I always say, like, it's my therapy in a way. Like, yeah, I enjoy doing this. It's super fun and everything. But really, I feel like there's things and ideas that doing this has taught me to tap into myself that I would have probably never gotten to if it didn't. Like, I think I told you the first time, like, I'm quiet as shit in real life. I used to be terrified of public speaking. Like, not only have I had live shows that I've talked in front of like hundreds of people, I've spoke at festivals and shit. Like the fact that I probably would have never built that skill, I probably would have never even known that I was capable of doing it had I not started for this podcast. Like it's made me more confident in like giving presentations at work and shit. Like that shit is nothing. I can give a meeting to the other managers if I'm sitting here performing in front of 100 people that I don't even fucking know for real. You feel me?
Facts, so like, big facts.
Like yeah, it's helped me in so many aspects of my life that it's like, It's absolutely therapeutic because of that, man. Absolutely.
Hell yeah, bro. And I feel the same exact way, because there's times where I just go in the podcast room. I might not even, you know, necessarily had a plan to go and record, but I'll go sit down in my chair and I'll just, you know what I'm saying? I'll start thinking. And the next thing you know, I got an idea. And like you said, it just gives me, podcasting is therapeutic for me more or less, because I don't have to care what anybody thinks.
Exactly.
Like when you're on Facebook or in person with people, you got to have like a certain, I'm not going to say a shield, but you got to have a certain persona about you. You can't always say exactly what's on your mind, exactly how you want to say it. But with this podcast and shit, bro, you can say whatever the fuck you want, however you want to say it about whoever. And there's no filter, and people are going to judge you regardless, because there's always going to be people that don't necessarily agree with what you're saying. But more or less, there's going to be people that say, bro, I feel you. Like, I get what you're saying. And that's what I like about podcasts, because not only for that, like, I get to vent and say what I want to say, how I want to say it, but it reaches a magnitude of people. And then that feedback, when it comes back, you know, especially when it's love, it's just like, that's what I did it for. Like my goal is accomplished, because now I've reached somebody else that's not in my area or not within my circle. And we don't know each other. And they came back to me and said that they thought my shit was dope, and they fuck with it. And that's what I, you know, that's what I do it for. It helps me relieve some thoughts and some tension that I might have, and I can say whatever I want to say about it. And then somebody else can receive the information and take what they want from it, and, you know, congratulate me if you want. If you don't, then it's cool. But as long as you hear it, and as long as you can take what you want to take with it. But I mean, for me, it's just really therapeutic just to be able to speak my mind at the magnitude that I want to speak my mind. Because like I said, like, everybody can be real, quote unquote, and everybody can say what they want to say, but when you at work, you're not saying what you really want to say. You know, when you want to tell Joe, fuck you, you're not saying fuck you, Joe. You're saying, Joe, I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to take a breather. You're not saying fuck you. Like, when you get on the podcast, you can say, hey, Joe, fuck you. Yeah. And he can't say nothing. Like, I mean, so for me, that's what it is for me. It's just being able to have that level of comfortability to be able to really just express exactly what I mean and not be sorry for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for anybody who's a creative, especially, like, a podcast or whatever, and they feel like they always have to give the PC versions of their opinion, I don't understand how they can fucking do it, bro, because that shit would drive me crazy. I got to do, like you said, I got to do this shit 40 hours a week when I'm clocked into my job. The last thing I'm going to do on my platform is cut any of my fucking thoughts. And I always say, like, it's fine. You don't have to agree to understand somebody's point. And there's a lot of people that I can understand the points that you're making. I don't necessarily have to agree with you, but look, because you articulated it, I fuck with you. I don't have, like, the people who, like, always need people to agree with them or always have to agree with the people that they bring into their circles, I don't want no yes people around me. Man or woman. I can't do that shit. So, like, to get back, like, when I'm in this platform, I'm unapologetically me and everything. And if you fuck with me, you fuck with me. If you don't, you don't. That's fine. But at least if you don't fuck with me, I can honestly say, well, you got the real me. So if you don't fuck with me, cool.
Facts.
Like, it's all right, cool.
So, and that's one thing, bro. Like you said, like if you fuck with me, for me being me, then that's all the better. But at least I can say if you don't fuck with me, you're not fucking with me because I was being fake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you won't have that thought in the back of your mind like, damn, they ain't fucking with me, and I was trying to do whatever thinking about their feelings. Right. No, they don't fuck with me because of how I feel. Cool. I ain't right. No hate at all. Like, don't fuck with me then.
Facts.
I don't understand the people who get in this shit to want to be liked or want people to agree with them, because one thing I've learned about this shit, especially if you gain an actual following and base, they're going to be people who listen to you every single week for nothing more that they don't agree with shit you got to say.
Exactly. They just wonder like, I wonder what the fuck this man going to say today.
Exactly.
That I don't agree with. But I mean, if you listening, that's all I need. You know what I'm saying? On my end, that's all I need is for you to listen.
Yep. And while I don't agree with a lot of what he does, like he says something like, for example, Kevin Samuels, right? Women all day will talk about how this man breaks down women, but y'all still fucking listening. Y'all still going on this man's show. You still calling in. Yeah, like, I don't get people who complain about the shit, but yet you calling in to get on the fucking show. Like,
facts. And I think that's just because, like, everybody, like, I feel like this generation just want, they, like you said, they want to be seen.
Yeah.
So if that means I don't agree with Kevin Samuels, I don't like nothing that he says about women because it's disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. But when I got an issue, I'm going to call that motherfucker because I know I'm going to be on live with Kevin Samuels in front of 70,000 people. You know what I'm saying? And even if they don't agree with what I'm saying, I guarantee you out of them 70,000, there's a percentage of them that's going to follow me. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to be viral because I was on with Kevin Samuels. And I feel like that's just the way that a lot of the younger people think nowadays, just to get, you know, just to get their face out there or just to get some type of notoriety. Like, it's hard. I feel like it's hard for younger people to really say what they want to say because they don't want everybody judging them for them speaking their real mind, like speaking what they really mean. So they would rather just hop on a train or hop on whatever wave everybody else got going on and just kind of fall into the mix instead of just being they self because they're afraid of what other people are going to say about them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I use social media to promote. I use social media to have conversations. I don't use social media for a way of acceptance or to be any type of approval. Like, because that shit can be given and shit can be taken away in the same Facts. Day. It just depends Facts. On what audience decides to look at your shit that day.
Facts.
And so, like, that same thing has to transfer to all aspects of life. It's so freeing once you stop worrying what people think. Like, it's like my mom has the saying. For my loyal listeners, they'll hear me because I say it all the time. My mom has said this shit to me when I honestly think I was like 9 or 10 years old, and it stuck with me all my life from then. She once said, she was like, other people's opinions, when you really think about it, aren't any of your business, even if they are about you. So why do you give a fuck what they think?
Facts.
And that shit has stuck with me my whole entire life. And it's like, you know what? You're right. Like, even if their opinion is about me, unless they bring it to me to have a conversation, that Facts. Shit ain't none of my business. It Facts. Ain't none of my damn business.
If you never heard it, you would have never known that that's what they thought about
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And like, people worry so much. What are they saying? What do they like? There's somebody talking about me and you right now that we don't even Facts. Fucking that isn't even a fucking factor in our lives. So why Facts. Are we like, I don't worry about this shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I mean, if you spend most of your time worrying about what somebody else is going to do or what somebody else thinks about you, you're never going to be able to be who you really want to be because you always got that thought. Every move that you make is going to be based off of somebody else's assumption of you or somebody else's opinion. It's not going to be based off of what you want to do because what you want to do is always going to be put on the back burner because you're always going to think, well, damn, that might not make so-and-so happy or so-and-so. My mom might not like that I did this, so I'm not going to do what I really want to do because my mom wanted me to go to school. But you know, I wanted to go move out over here, but I'm not going to do that because my dad really wants me to stay here. And it's just like, you know, if you always make your moves based off of what somebody else is going to think of you, then you're never going to be where you want to be in life because it's always going to be somebody else's thought process and opinions holding you back from doing what you want
to
do.
And yeah, and it's not always meant to be negative. I'm glad that you mentioned like your mom and your dad, right? Because our parents usually want the best for, like, some people got fucked up ass parents, but generally Facts. Our parents want the best for us, right? But we can't even live for them because of that. Like, we, as far as we know, until we find out reincarnation is real, we get one motherfucking life, right?
Right.
You have to live that life for you. Like we worry about other people's expectations. We worry about how other people are going to think about certain decisions we make. At the end of the day, if you can live with that decision, if you can walk away and realize that even if that decision goes left or takes a bad turn, that you're happy that you made it, or you can take away something that you learned from it or whatever, learn from a mistake, then do that shit. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks about. And that's one of the key things, like, in our community is when we get to, like, that place of realizing, like, I love my mama, but at the end of the day, I can't live for my mom. You feel me?
Right.
When I left St. Louis, I know for a fact my mama would have rather me not ever lived in a city that she didn't live in. That's because we just that close. But at the end of the day, I can't make, like, moving to Columbus has been one of the best decisions of my life. I can't, if I would have tried to make a decision because of how she felt about it or for her or to make her happy, I would have been robbing myself of certain experiences. You gotta live for you, bro. You gotta live for
right. Facts, bro. Like, I know people, like, I have friends, like, I got a friend who, his mother's always kind of been, like, sick. Like, she battled cancer a lot when we was in school and things like that. So, like, and he's my age, he's 30 years old, and he still lives with his mother because he feels like he feels like she can't live without him. Like, he always worries about what if something happens. Like, she's not working. I don't know her financial situation as far as whether she's getting disability or not. I know at one point she was, and at one point she wasn't. So that was kind of a battle as well. But like, for him, I feel for him because, like, I feel like there's certain situations to where, you know, you kind of feel obligated, like you kind of feel like you can't leave because of situations like that. And you feel like, if I leave, what if this person can't make it without me? What if this person dies because nobody else is around to help this person move and get through their day to day activities or whatever? Mm-hmm. But then there's people that I know to where it's like, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing right now, bro? You're fucking 30 years old. There's no reason why you should be even living with your parents or even, you know what I'm saying, getting help from your parents. And I feel like that aspect of it comes from, you know, parents spoiling their kids and, like you said, wanting to give their kids everything that they didn't have, that, you know, we put so much time into giving our kids everything they didn't have. We don't realize that we're giving them more than what they need. We do realize we're giving them more than what they need, but it's like a certain level of satisfaction for us as parents to be able to give our kids things that we didn't have growing up. Facts. But at the same time, it's kind of depriving them of learning how to grow up and become an adult, because those are some of those things that they get from us. They become dependent. Whereas we didn't have that growing up. So we automatically were never dependent on it. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's where our generation is kind of bridging that gap and having to learn how to bridge that gap into where we can know to give our kids what they want. But at the same time, they need to learn that we had to work for that shit. So you got to work for your shit too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and the thing is that, like, we're naturally in a place, like, as parents, where we don't want to see our kids fail, right? We don't want to.
Right.
We try to protect them so much from failing, but then we're also robbing them of opportunities to learn as they grow when they do that. Like, the comparison that I can use to that is, like, if you always keep your kid from falling when they're learning to ride a bike without training wheels, they will never learn. There's something in that first time you bust your ass trying to ride that mm-hmm. bike that you'd be like, all right, I need to pedal faster because I'm not finna fall down and scrape my knee again. So,
right.
Like, you learn from mistakes, and like we can try to fight so hard to protect them from making mistakes that, you know, then they're completely unprepared, right? They're completely unprepared for life when either we get sick or we're not around or whatever. They don't know how to operate because they're so used to having us around coddling them. Like, you have to allow these children to make mistakes. You have to allow them chances to grow. You have to allow them chances to fail and not necessarily throw it back in their face, but just say, all right, I let you do that. I knew you were probably going to fail, but all right, now, what did you learn from it? And I can tell you how you cannot do it again.
Facts.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Yeah. But I mean, anything else on your heart and mind, bro, before we go?
Man, as I always say, bro, you know, I appreciate you having me on your show, bro. Like, for real, I appreciate you giving me your time. I'm definitely gonna have to get with you on those podcast awards and those meetups, bro, because I'm definitely trying to do that networking and expand and, you know what I'm saying, keep the podcast going. But other than that, bro, man, I have nothing to say. Once again, I appreciate you. I appreciate your listeners for you know, taking the time to listen to me. And I hope everybody's blessed.
Definitely, man. What's coming up next on the Blunt Effect podcast, man? What you cooking up over there?
Man, I told you the other day I had a interview with a pro baller from my city, and that didn't go the way that we wanted to go that particular day. So tomorrow, I'm actually getting ready to, I'm interviewing tomorrow. So I'm working on an episode where, you know, this guy, his name is Alonzo Coleman. He's out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He plays pro basketball overseas, and he started up a pro-am in the city. Whereas, you know, Charlotte, I mean, I know you're good. You're big into sports. You know, Charlotte is a small sports city. Like, we're not really known for pro sports. We're known for college, you know, a little bit of high school. But, you know, he's doing the pro-am thing in Charlotte. And I feel like I've been to like six games, bro. And it's really like bringing the community together and just doing a lot of things for the city of Charlotte, a lot of things for the athletes. And like I said, I've been wanting to network, and basketball is my favorite sport. So I just, once I got my foot in the door and I started talking to him, he said he was down to do an interview. I'm like, bet, like, let's do it, bro. So that's what I got going on right now. I'm working on getting ready to do that episode. And then I'm probably just going to keep trying to link up with other companies and other, you know what I'm saying, independent businessmen and women around my area, and just trying to navigate and just trying to get them on the show and keep everybody's shit going, you know, get my shit out there and just exploit everybody else's brand as well. Because I've learned in this game that you have to be willing to promote other people in order to get to receive that promotion back. Like, there's only so much you can do by yourself as a creator without networking with anybody, without connecting and finding people that are within your range of likeness, that like you for you and like what you're doing, that are willing to promote your shit. So, because I thought for a while, you know, I can just promote that shit myself. And I mean, which I can, but it's a lot harder. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot easier when you're networking and going to events in your city and pop-up shops and things like that and just showing your face. And I feel like that over the last, I would say, 8 months is probably what I've learned about podcasting the most, is that it's not just about me going in and making content, because the content ain't going to go nowhere if I don't go out and show my face. That's or if I don't go and show anybody anything. So yeah, now I'm getting more into the networking and getting out of my shell and talking to people and not being nervous and all that kind of shit. And so far it's been working out in my favor. That's where all those reels and shit I've been doing lately been coming from, bro. So it's been working out.
I gotta
bro.
Get
so,
on the reels, bro. Like, I'm doing good on the video promotion, but like I've been watching like some stuff about like how much Instagram actually promotes reels over anything else to like random people.
And bro, so, reels is where it's at, bro.
I see, bro. And like the first that I remember shit when that is shit where first started, I'm like, man, who the fuck gonna be watching this vertical video shit?
Right.
And like, it's taken like, it hasn't been immediate. It's taken like 3 years since they launched IGTV for it to like, it basically became reels and it to really get to a place now. But like, I see it on TikTok, for example. Like, I posted a podcast snippet on TikTok. I posted the same time I did on Twitter. Like, that shit got like over 1,000 views within like 30 minutes on TikTok. Bro, I didn't use no hashtags or nothing. This shit
bro,
was crazy.
I'm telling you. That's that, and I think that's gonna be my new thing. Like, I've been kind of on TikTok lately. I used to be on Facebook heavy. Like, I used to be on them Facebook groups heavy, but that's just washed down. I feel like every time I go in there, it's always somebody talking about some sub for sub.
You see,
and
that's the
all
thing.
That
the podcast groups, because everybody is just think that this sub for sub, listen for listen thing, that's not how you grow. What I've learned Facts. With Facebook, and the thing that's helped me, is like, I'm part of a group that's called Black Media Consciousness. I'm part of a Black Filmmakers group where it's not about podcasting, it's literally about the craft. So like, if I'm talking about some shit going on in the Black community, I'll post it in that Black Media Consciousness group and they eat that shit up. Whereas if I post Facts. It in a podcast, like the podcast groups, unfortunately, people don't even really watch or listen or pay attention to the content.
They
immediately respond back with their link and do listen for listen. It's like you didn't even pay attention to what I posted. Like, I remember one time I posted there's something about like what about like, hey, let's say what some of our first things of our hurdles or whatever that we had in podcasting. And it was like the first 10 comments. Links and listen for listen. I'm like, you didn't even read
right.
The fucking post.
And bro, these motherfuckers be screenshotting this shit. Like, how you screenshot some shit you ain't listened to?
Shit's crazy, man. Shit's crazy.
Hell yeah.
That shit, man. Like, people are so caught up in like that shit that they don't really know how to build. They don't know how to promote. And I understand, especially when you start out, why you think that listen for listen thing is going to work. But at the end of the day, like, that shit ain't really going to get far. That's why, like, one of the things that I've done since I started this podcast is bring on other creatives, like invite other people on, because that's what really, A, I get to see you as a person then, right? So I get to know if I really fuck with you based off the conversation that we have. And then that's what builds an actual connection, because now, like, after me and you listen, bro, like, me and you talk, like, we don't do it as consistently as what we did at first, but, like, we'll shoot each other messages, like, and I'd have no problem hitting you up, like, hey, Rod, I'm in your city, let's link up. Like, that's an actual connection that we have. Facts. It's so much different than the listen for listen type shit, man.
Hell yeah. And bro, I done got to the point to where I actually told myself this, like, last week. I'm like, so I did the Instagram Reels thing, right? And I think my first video, bro, that video had like 600 views within like 20 minutes, bro. And then after that, I was like, yo, like, this is really what's going on right now. Like, Instagram Reels and these TikTok, because I hear people say that shit all the time when they talk about podcasting and networking and how to get some traction for your stuff. And people always say TikTok, Instagram Reels, and Twitter. And I'm like, I can see Instagram and I can see TikTok. Twitter, not so much, at least for me, not so much. But Facebook is, I didn't hear anybody say Facebook. And I feel like I do everything that I do on Instagram and Twitter, I do on Facebook. And I feel like Facebook has the least amount of traction out of all of it. And Instagram, like that, like I said, them Reels, bro, I've come to learn those Reels and having those short little clips, because when you think about it, bro, you're giving it people just enough.
And then they can figure out, like, all right, let me go click this link so I can get the rest of this shit. And if you edit it perfectly, like, if you have a good cliffhanger with some shit on TikTok or Reels, bro, that shit, people will eat that shit up.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to keep on doing that shit. So I think that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my thing for now.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Well, go ahead and give me your social media so they can follow you, man. Let's get up out of here.
All right, everybody. You can follow me on my personal Instagram at your boy Rod. You can follow the podcast at the Blunt Effect Podcast on Twitter. You can follow the Blunt Effect Pod on Twitter. The Blunt Effect Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And if you can listen to it on any of your favorite podcasts and platforms at the Blunt Effect Podcast.
All right. You guys know where you can follow me at. That's at CEO Hayes, that's CEO HAIZE. You can follow the podcast at Awaken Soul Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 614-547-2039. We are the number one podcast for the culture. And this week, we out this bitch. Peace. That was fun, bro.
This has been a presentation of the Breaks Media.